first things first. I'm Jenna Wolf. That is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. Good morning, gentlemen.
Jenna, I'm going to tell you, collectively, we have about 6.5 hours of sleep.
Come on.
We need you to drive the car.
Driving.
We have insurance.
Pedal to the metal, but...
I forgot to make the payment. It lapsed, so we can't.
All right, Jenna, no bumps today.
Let's do it. But a great game last night.
Another new dress. Come on with the red and the black.
You
can't fool me, Jenna.
We have a collective 6 hours of
sleep. Nick Wright, same attitude.
We had a great game to watch last night. We made it to Friday. We'll get to the game. But other things on the show today. Why is Dak worried about the Cowboys and their matchup with the Saints? Patriots could fall to second place in the AFC East this weekend.
Jenna gasped at the thought.
I did.
She couldn't even believe the word she had written 2 hours ago.
And Thursday Night Football served up a doozy last night. That's where we start. Great matchup. Great game. From Lambeau, Packers hosting the Eagles. We jump ahead to the fourth quarter. Hey, we asked yesterday, where's Eagles running back Jordan Howard? There he is, third touchdown on the night, rushed for 87 yards after having 99 his first three games combined. Tight game, Packers down 7 late, looking to tie up the game. Aaron Rodgers misses Jimmy Graham on fourth down. Packers, though, one more chance with under 30 seconds left. Rodgers, slant pass here, broken up, intercepted. Eagles win. Eagles improved to 2-2 to salvage their season. Packers suffer their first loss of the year in heartbreaking fashion. Here's Aaron Rodgers after the game.
We had chances. You know, we had a lot of chances down the stretch. We moved the ball well all day long. You know, we just struggled in the red zone. Two field goals, four passes on the one, and then obviously the turnover.
Going 2-2 is a heck of a lot better than being 1-3. Thursday night game on the road in Lambeau. A lot of things, you know, working against us this week. But to come in here and fight to the end, the defense coming up big at the end, a huge win for us.
And the frustrating thing is, you know, a home game, winnable game, good opponent, that we just didn't execute the way we should have to win a football game. You know, I think we're a building football team. I think we're a good football team. To be a great football team, you have to win these kind of games when you're playing really good opponents.
Aaron Rodgers called it a winnable game. Packers definitely had their chances at the end, could easily have won this game. Nick, was last night's Eagles win more about what we just said with the Packers, or was it about Philly's execution?
Well, you want to give Philly immense credit because their season was on the brink, as you alluded to. They're in a hostile environment. They're on the road. They fall down early. The Packers are humming offensively, as we thought they might come out and do. And the Eagles punched back and punched back repeatedly. So Philly went out and took this game. But on the Green Bay perspective, this is the type of game that can have, to my eye, lingering effects. I think Green Bay is going to look back at this game multiple times throughout the season and say what a missed opportunity this was. They could not execute in the red zone throughout the evening. Mm-hmm. In the first half, when Green Bay had full control of this game, could have gone up 14-0. Instead, it's 10-0 because Davante Adams gets broken up. Later in the first half, they settle for another short field goal, and all of a sudden, you look up and you're like, wait, it's 14-13 Philadelphia. Philly has the win. But then Green Bay can drive down and put themselves up by 8 points at the half, potentially. And what happens? Aaron Rodgers is strip sacked. They late in the game, as you showed, man, they had that fourth down. They had pass interference at the one in the end zone. They give you first and goal at the one, and they throw the ball four times, taking a bad play out of Freddie Kitchens' playbook, not lining up and running the ball one time. You blow an opportunity there, and then you throw a pick at the end zone at the end of the game. Philly had to win, and credit to them for winning, but Green Bay shot themselves in the foot repeatedly by not turning 3-7, and late in the game, they turned 7-0, and I think that's why they lost this football game.
Huge difference in attitude in this game. Philadelphia, they stuck to some of the things we talked about. We said the defensive front, Nick, we were surprised. Fletcher Cox and the rest of that defensive front not having an impact on the game. In last night's game, they did have an impact. The reason why, Jenna, you weren't worried, because they're so good on their offensive and defensive line. And the offensive line took control of the game. After getting off to a shaky start, which in Lambeau Field, you're not getting off on the snap count, but it really didn't just start in the game. It started in the practice. The offensive line talked about in the after the game, how them and the running backs begin to talk about the running game during practice because they weren't in sync. The offensive line felt as if they were blocking a lot better in weeks one and two, and the running backs weren't following their read. So they started getting together in practice starting on Wednesday, which is hard for teams to do. That's that extended training camp that teams need because you can't have a whole bunch of padded practices. But their overall attitude up front took control of this game, and then they had the option. They ran 60 plays. They ran it 33 times, passed it 27 times. Most of those successful runs were out of two tight ends, one running back, something we said that they should get into and impose their will on the Green Bay Packers, and that's what the Eagles did. Great professional football win on the road under the lights in primetime.
With no major mistakes, because you look at the box score, and the Packers had 31 first downs. That's seven more than Philly. They were 6 of 11 on third down, which, by the way, they had been awful on third down had Green Bay coming into this game. Only 9 converted third downs on the year. They were better on third down than Philly. They outgained Philly by more than 150 yards. They had fewer turnovers than Philly. They had better time possession than Philly. How does that happen and you don't win? Well, Philly's perfect in the red zone. You're bad in the red zone. Mm-hmm. And you turn the ball over in two critical spots. One that immediately leads to points for Philadelphia before the half. And the other, the last meaningful play of the game, the Aaron Rodgers interception.
Look, this was as close to a must-win game for the Philadelphia Eagles as they were going to have in a Week 4 game.
Yes.
Now the Eagles are 2-2. The Cowboys are 3-0. Do you look at the Eagles differently now in the NFC East? Do you feel like they've pumped a little air into their season?
Well, if we look at it, we're honest, they're 4 or 5 plays away from potentially being undefeated. You don't like the inconsistency. You don't like in 4 straight games they've been down by double digits. We know they have firepower. We know they have experience. They also have Doug Peterson, I believe, is underrated as a play caller. But this is one of those prove it. Carson Wentz and this team prove it to us type year. And when you lose those two games and you go on the road to Lambeau, now everything isn't corrected, but as far as moving forward, let's put our hat on that offensive line and running the ball. Let's try to protect our secondary, Jim Schwartz, and stop playing so much man-to-man because we do not have a very, very good secondary as far as playing man-to-man. But what you get is it's like one of those things as a team. This is a different team than last year. This is a great experience for a team to continue to grow on. So, yes, did it save their season? Yes. If they continue to run the ball and build on it, Nick.
Well, and they get the Jets this upcoming week before that brutal schedule starts. But this is one of the things we alluded to yesterday, which is a season can turn on a tindle in this league. And if you're the Packers, you're flying high through 17 quarters of football this year. I'm sorry, 13 quarters of football this year. 3-0, you're dominating Philadelphia to early in this football game. Now, all of a sudden, you're going to be underdogs next week in Dallas. Now, all of a sudden,
Devontae Adams might miss some time with that turf toe injury that I believe is significant.
Well, you mentioned before the show that you thought that was a major injury. By the way, it's another one of the reasons why Devontae Adams was out of the football game when they threw the ball 4 straight times from the 1-yard line in the fourth quarter. But the Packers all of a sudden could go from look at how good things are going for us to, man, if we don't upset Dallas next week, we're one of the many at 3-2, yep. Just a game above 500. At this point in the season, 1 week can totally change the prism through which you see your year. It did that for Philly. You're concerned it could do that for Green Bay.
Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. Back here first things first with Coach Eric Mangini. Hey, Coach.
Good morning.
What's up, brother?
What a game last night.
What a game last night.
See, you come visit our show, we present you with a fantastic Thursday Night Football game to come here on Friday morning and talk about.
Yeah, I think it was all driven by this show. That's usually how it works.
No, the game was on
Rain
Fox.
On my
our first
parade.
Game. Yeah, our first game. You're right, Jenna.
It's true.
She's all the
right.
Bosses were
Thanks
in town.
Yeah, of course. She's right.
Right. Right, 80% of the time
great,
on the show.
Great. I'll take the 80. It's a good number for me. Great matchup. Great game last night. Packers hosting the Eagles. We're going to jump ahead to the fourth quarter. We asked yesterday, where's Eagles running back Jordan Howard? Oh, there he is. Third touchdown on the night. Rushed for 87 yards after having 99 in his first three combined. Tight game. Packers down 7, looking to tie up the game. Aaron Rodgers misses Jimmy Graham on fourth down. He knows it was a wasted opportunity. Packers have one more chance with under 30 seconds left. Rodgers slam pass, broken up, intercepted. Eagles win. They improve to 2-2 to salvage their season. The Packers suffer their first loss of the year in heartbreaking fashion. Here's quarterback Aaron Rodgers after the game.
We had chances. You know, we had a lot of chances down the stretch. We moved the ball well all day long. You know, we just struggled in the red zone. Two field goals, four passes on the one, and then obviously the turnover.
Going 2-2 is a heck of a lot better than being 1-3. Thursday night game on the road in Lambeau. A lot of things, you know, working against us this week. But to come in here and fight to the end, the defense coming up big at the end, a huge win for us.
And the frustrating thing is, you know, a home game. Winnable game, good opponent, that we just didn't execute the way we should have to win a football game. You know, I think we're a building football team. I think we're a good football team. To be a great football team, you have to win these kind of games when you're playing really good opponents.
Coach, when you watched last night's game, was it more about the Packers struggling or Philly's execution?
To me, it's about Philly's resilience, and they did a lot of things last night that you look at and you say that mature teams can do, that teams that have a chance later in the season can do because of the type of the locker room that they have. And that was the most impressive part of this, because everything was working against them across the board, whether it's the injuries or the way they played early on, the momentum that Green Bay had. Mm-hmm. So I was impressed with that. One thing that's going to come away from this game, Green Bay went in struggling against the run. Okay, they were giving up 4.9 yards a carry, and then Philadelphia did what they did. They're going to have that issue from now on. This is a copycat league. Yep. Everybody's going to go in and see whether or not they can stop the run. It's going to start there. And the great thing about running against Green Bay is it eliminates those outside pass rushers. It slows them down. It takes away their greatest strength. What's it been? It's been the sacks. It's been the sacks and pressure that have led to turnovers.
Yep.
Now you consistently run the ball. You keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. You slow down the pass. Everything changes. So unless they get that fixed really quickly, this dynamic has changed dramatically for them. In terms of Green Bay's struggles, yeah, it was. Aaron Rodgers hadn't been picked off at all. The sack that they had on the hard sell play action shot, those hard sell play action shots have been great for him, but this time it ended up being a strip sack. That was a little bit different. You know, LaFleur's taking heat for throwing the ball down in the red zone as many times as he did. But look, the Eagles' run defense is one of the best that they're going to face. They're, mm-hmm. they're facing a depleted secondary down to Craig James.
Take advantage of it.
Who's on the practice squad. And you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback with gigantic receivers against small DBs. It makes sense why you throw the ball. So I'm okay with that aspect of it. But it's the inability to stop the run that's going to change this equation in Green Bay for moving forward until they stand up and say, We have the ability to stop this.
Yeah, and Coach is right. Typically, an NFL team, you go back 4 games to get the breakdown as tendencies. So we've played 4 games, and you could see they've struggled. Chicago game, without a featured running back, didn't get the attempts. But you could see in the Minnesota game, Dalvin Cook, if they didn't get behind, Dalvin Cook might have rushed for 200 yards against them. In the Denver game, still giving up good chunks of yardage, especially per rush attempt. And then last night, Philadelphia realized with that offensive line, Jason Peters give up the sack early, and then he put his work hat on and said, listen, I'm getting ready to go to work. And they started just moving the defensive front into the lap of the linebackers and running backs getting into the secondary. And you have to be able to give that Philadelphia team, that veteran locker room, because what it takes on a short week, let's go back 2 Wednesdays ago where Doug Peterson, the team, couldn't practice. And then they lose a disappointing loss where they have seven drops at home to a Detroit Lions team that might be underrated. But now you come to Lambeau Field staring at 1-3. That offensive lineman put that pressure on themselves to be able to go out and take that game in Lambeau. And it's amazing just how quick things turn.
Man.
Green Bay, last week, Aaron Rodgers with the defense. We're excited. Oh, now they got to go to Dallas.
Right, and deal with Zeke. You're talking about if people are going to run on him. They're going to Dallas again.
And potentially, I'd be shocked in 10 days if Davante Adams is in the lineup for them. And they do not have a number two. So how do they solve their run defense? And who's going to be the number two receiver for the Green Bay Packers? Life just got a lot serious for them.
Absolutely. And listen, I want to give Philly immense credit because their season was teetering. I know you probably think that's a bit of an overreaction, but fall to 1-3, and given how Dallas is playing, given your level of expectations, and given coach, I don't know if you've checked out their schedule, but the at Chicago, at Minnesota, the game against New England, the five-week stretch they have, you fall to 1-3 if you're Philly. You are hanging by a thread. So I want to give them immense credit for understanding the urgency of the situation, falling down 10-0 in a game. By the way, Aaron Rodgers at home in his career going into last night, 59-0 if he leads by 10 points at any point.
Wow.
So he had never lost in that situation and then lost. But these games are lost in the details at times. And after Green Bay went up 10-0. What happened? They kick off. Miles Sanders pops it to the Green Bay 35. Now you have a short field. They turn that into a touchdown. So Green Bay stalled, settled for a field goal. Then all of a sudden, Philly scores. Green Bay drives again after the touchdown, settled for a field goal again. Kick off that time. Out of bounds. Now you're on a short field. You have a 15-yard penalty. Makes it an even shorter field. So now all of a sudden, it's 14-13 Philly. How did that happen? Then there's the deep shot play action where was it Mercedes Lewis?
Yep.
Whiffed on his tackle. He got looped around. Now all of a sudden it's Philly ball. It's 21-13. You're like, how the hell did this happen?
Green Bay outplaying them
the entirety of the game, it felt like, up to that point. They're down 8. Now, they were fortunate that Rodgers had that drive at the end of the half, make it 21-20, and they obviously had their opportunities. But when Philly wasn't playing great, you miss a tackle on special teams. You kick the ball out of bounds on special teams. You don't turn red zone opportunities into touchdowns. That's how a game that you outgain them by 150. You have the ball more. You commit fewer penalties. You have way more first downs. You still find a way to lose it instead of finding a way to win it.
Doug Peterson said on Monday, we have to find a way to flip the script for this team. And that's exactly basically what they did. How much has their narrative changed now that the Eagles are 2-2 and obviously contenders in the NFC East than they were, you know, facing 1-3?
Well, one of the things I talked about yesterday is getting big and running the ball. And that offensive line was highly rated going into the season. And this is a good group. And this is a very effective team at running the ball, which nobody thinks because they haven't had a 100-yard rusher in like 37 games. But that's not how they do it. They do running back by committee. But they can stretch run, very effective athletically. And then they can inside zone and be physical against guys with big tight ends, or they put in the extra linemen. And then they have great gap trap stuff. Being able to start with the running game there, which isn't as sexy, which isn't as exciting to people, but starting with that in mind, that'll open everything else up in Philly. So hopefully from his perspective, he's taking a step back and saying, this is what I need to do more of to open everything else up.
Doug Peterson showing one of the great signs that good coaches have in short weeks. He's 5-0 on Thursday.
Man.
And coach, you know that. When you got less time and you can abbreviate a game plan and get your guys to play efficiently, that's the sign of a good coaching staff. Philadelphia, I'm excited about them moving forward because I believe this game will pay dividends. Because when you're a team that's struggling, and it might be in November, it might be in December, you'll be able to look back and say, man, we were down 10 in Lambeau Field. Now, they've been down double digits in every game. They need to get that part solved. But, man, you can go back, and this is a reservoir. This will give you a lot of confidence later in the season knowing what to accomplish last night.
And give Jim Schwartz a little bit of credit. He mixed in some split safety coverage. They did a good job.
Yes. They got two stops at the end.
It was huge. It was a huge effort with a depleted group, so he deserves some credit as well.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, back to Thursday Night Football.
Bad and Aaron television Rodgers. Producer, you.
The Packers quarterback was unbeaten in 59 straight home games when leading by at least 10 points. It was the second longest streak in the Super Bowl era, and it all came to an end with this interception in the final seconds in the loss against the Eagles. Here's Aaron Rodgers after the game.
This is one of those games where, we got to pick them up. They've been picking us up the first 3 weeks, and tonight was opportunity, and we obviously came up a little short there in the red zone. But I feel good about our squad. I don't think we're going to lack confidence moving forward. We have a nice couple days off, and then we'll get ready for Dallas.
What was the conversation coming into this game? It was, could the Packers get their offense going? Could we see something on offense? Well, the Packers showed us something on offense. CeCe, do you think, should Aaron Rodgers feel good about where the Packers are even after four games?
The problem with the Packers is they're not going to want to lose at home. They expect to go undefeated at home. And the way the game was, you have to, in real time, they had control of this game. But settling for field goals will get you beat. When they were up by a touchdown, they go up by 10. If they could go up by two scores then, they make Philly panic. Because at that time, Philly hadn't discovered that running game. And then they have their next drive. They settle for another field goal. Before you blink, they're behind and they've outplayed the Philadelphia Eagles. We thought, Nick, that the passing game would get on track. And Davante Adams, he had a career day. Him being nicked up, not being there those last couple series when they were in the red zone and Philly's defense got those stops, that's going to be the hard part to recover from, because I believe that turf toe injury, it will be something that will hamper him for a long time. He talked about the overall discomfort. He couldn't get back on the field, couldn't get his shoe on.
Couldn't even put his shoe on after the game.
Couldn't put his shoe on after the game. That is a significant injury. But you could see, when he's on the field, he's a dynamic. He's underrated as a wide receiver. You can even see some wide receiver listings. He would be listed in the top five of certain people's lists. But they don't have anyone else. And that's what hurt them in those last two drives, inside the 10-yard line, not getting anyone to be able to make that completion to convert into that touchdown, Nick.
And so, to me, there's two separate discussions here. If you said before the year, through four games, knowing you have Chicago, Minnesota, and Philly as three of your first four, along with Denver, you'll be 3-1. Aaron Rodgers will be healthy. The defense will be paying dividends. You would say they would take that. But given how they lost this game, given the fact that the defense looked vulnerable all of a sudden against the run, and you're about to face the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas the next week, and given the fact that the one part of the team that has not evolved at all is the wide receiving core, and now Davante Adams, I didn't think he was seriously injured, but you said, the first thing you said this morning, that turf toe will sideline you if that is what he has. Well, now you're in a different situation. Now you're in a situation where this was a winnable game that you might have squandered a couple times at the end, and 3-0 can become 3-2 really quick.
And you could see a guy off the practice squad, Craig James there at the end. Him and Aaron haven't spent a lot of time, but it takes me back to last year. Remember Aaron Rodgers was complaining about the lack of development in the wide receivers last year? Mm-hmm. Nothing's changed. Those guys are 1 year older. They don't have a whole bunch of experience, and you don't see Aaron being able to depend on them and go to them. So this is a situation that we must watch going forward.
And so you've got Craig James for Philly breaking the play up because Aaron Rodgers does not have Davante Adams to throw to. They don't trust their running game clearly because they didn't run it any time on first, second, third, fourth down on the drive before. That play there, they ran it on first down, which I thought was smart because the clock was ticking. You had your timeouts. That way you guarantee if you score, Philly doesn't get the ball back. But you had timeouts. You could have run it again.
He had to score.
Right. You don't run it there. Aaron Rodgers throws his first career interception inside the 3-yard line, and you lose because of it. So the Packers are in fine shape. They're 3-1. They're relatively healthy aside from Davante Adams. But they have not had home field go through Green Bay since the 15-1 year. They have only, and this is, I looked this up last night, I couldn't believe it. Since Rodgers has been the quarterback, they've only had a bye twice. They had a bye the Dez caught it year, that they the Dez caught it, Dez didn't catch a year, that they ended up losing to Seattle in the postseason, in the heartbreaking game in Seattle, and they had a bye the 15-1 year. And so if we think Philly is going to get back on track, this is also a tiebreaker game. There's a lot of things there where the Packers don't feel terribly, but this was a missed opportunity. They won every statistical category yesterday except for the two, the one that indicates winning and the one that actually determines winning. Turnovers and final score. Everything else, they dominated the football game. But if you don't win turnovers, you're probably not going to win the final score. And that's ended up what happened. But I do really want to see how serious how long Devontae Adams could be out for, because I think the Eagles showed last night the defense can be had. That Packers defense, if they're playing from ahead, as they had every game this season, they had only trailed 7 minutes going into this game, tee off on the quarterback. But if you're in a close game or if you're leading the Packers and you can run on them, the defense does not look as dominant.
And with the Packers, surprisingly, it looks like their pass coverage is going to be elite.
Yes.
Runs, and now facing the Cowboys, that is not the four games of tape that you want to be able to see facing the Dallas Cowboys, because I know Dallas got to get through the Saints. But Ezekiel Elliott and that offensive line, they're going to be looking forward to seeing that packed defensive front next week in Dallas.
Patty Mahomes will be in Detroit to face the Lions. I'm sure the rest of the Chiefs team will be there as well. Mahomes off to a hot start this season. First player with 350 passing yards, 3 touchdown passes, and 0 interceptions in 3 straight games. See, what has to happen for the Lions to pull off the upset over the Chiefs?
Well, you got to be able to force some turnovers. Patty Mahomes, Pro Football Focus has him ranked number 6. I don't know how, man. It's got to be some tremendous guys 1 through 5 for Patty Mahomes in 3 games to be number 6. But the reason why he's number 6 is because he's thrown some balls that they consider to be dangerous passes, and they could have been turnovers. If those passes aren't converted into turnovers in Detroit, I don't see Detroit winning. They got to be able to create a 3-turnover game to give Matthew Stafford a short field and short opportunities. I do believe that Matt Patricia will come up with some game plans to be physical as far as the line of scrimmage, the same thing that Bill Belichick has done for years when Matt Patricia was the defensive coordinator. And that means sometime your linebackers aren't going to rush first. They're going to hit anyone in the slot, that being tight ends, wide receivers, or running backs, before they get into their pass routes, and then trying to create chaos in the passing game, taking away his number 1 and 2 look, forcing him to hold the ball longer, and then you can get more pressure around him and create turnovers that way. But turnovers, that is the way that the Lions are able to pull off the upset Sunday.
And I agree with you. I think it's the only way. I think that if the Chiefs are even or even just -1 in the turnover battle, they win this football game. The Lions' pass defense has not been as good as the numbers may suggest. The numbers don't suggest they've been great. But think about what the Lions done this year. They were great in the first 3 quarters of Kyler Murray's career. And then Kyler Murray and Larry Fitzgerald ate them alive in the 4th quarter of Week 1. Mm-hmm. Week 3, we saw how many – the narrative of that game against Philly was not great pass coverage, dropped passes by open receivers for Philadelphia. Chiefs aren't dropping passes so far this year. And while Mahomes has been, he has 2 fumbles that the Chiefs were fortunate to recover, there's only been 3 passes he's thrown all year that a defensive player has touched. So he is not giving teams the opportunities as many as he did last season. And I know I joked about it earlier with Mangini, but I'm not really joking. I'm very excited to see Patrick Mahomes in perfect conditions, on a fast field, in a dome, for the first time in his career. This is a track team they have built in Kansas City, even without Tyreek Hill. We've seen Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, the whole list of guys. And now, for the first time since he's been the quarterback, they play in a dome stadium where they're going to have perfect footing, where they're going to have perfect conditions to see how fast they can actually
Nick, I think you make a great point there. We do talk about their speed, and we talk about Patty Mahomes, how he can get the ball to all these different receivers that they have. But this team is not built to play in Kansas City. On that slow surface, especially in the wintertime, it gets uneven. It's harder for smaller guys, got less body fat to be able to stay warm. So now playing indoors, it is almost like a treat. I know they're very, very excited because there's nothing like, my career would be totally different. I like to think I'm a tough football player, but playing outside and trying to duplicate the numbers compared to 8 games a year, I got perfect conditions in the Metrodome. It really aided me in what I could do and being consistent week in and week out.
And the team that this Chiefs team historically is most often compared to is the greatest show on turf, the Kurt Warner Rams. They were, of course, playing half their games every year in a dome. And I don't know if you guys remember this, because this is the type of thing that is more likely to imprint in my memory than you guys. I remember the first time we ever showed a Patrick Mahomes highlight on this show. Because I was, full disclosure, I was disappointed the Chiefs drafted him. I wanted Deshaun Watson. I wanted the kid who I had seen crush Alabama, do all those things. I didn't watch a ton of Texas Tech. And then he redshirts his first year. So it was the preseason last year, the only game in the NFL he's played in the dome. And it's when he unleashed this thing right here. And this was when we said, oh, wait, who's the quarterback for Kansas City? Because he just threw that thing 70 yards in the air. Now, that was to Tyreek Hill, who is not going to be playing this weekend, obviously. A little dance from Tyreek afterwards. Bah, bah. Yeah. But this is, I think, with Darius Slay dinged, with the Lions secondary can be had, with the Chiefs just having speed after speed. You saw 3 guys trailing him. I think you're going to see a lot of that this weekend, of Chiefs receivers running open downfield and Mahomes hitting.
So where can the Chiefs be gotten? How do you get them then? How do you find a pocket of weakness that you can expose?
Ball control. Patty Mahomes with that hat on, with that hair going crazy on the sideline. Him and Andy Reid sitting over there trying to design stuff. That's the number one way. That's what New England has done in the 2 meetings. And also, when you get scoring opportunities, don't kick no field goals. Like, I like John Harbaugh's attitude last week from the beginning.
Go for it.
We're going for it in the beginning. We know we need to score touchdowns. I don't believe I have the type of defense, even though I have a good one, that can hold this great offense in check. So it starts with ball control, and then it starts with turnovers. You got to be able to switch the field. You got to have at least 2 to 3 extra possessions that you capitalize on, and they get you points. That's the way all these teams, the greatest show on turf, how did they get defeated? Just by that. The Vikings, how'd they get defeated? Randy Moss and the undefeated Pats, how'd they get defeated? All the same way. Turn the ball over, get after that quarterback.
And the Chiefs clearly can once again be run on. Now, the problem that every team that is facing this year has run into is they're down 3 scores at halftime.
They don't have the
patience. And so they, you get forced out of your running game.
Yes.
Baltimore is down 3
Can't
scores.
Can't be patient.
Right. Baltimore's down 3 scores. They still ran for 200 yards over the course of that game. Can you stick with it? And then there's also the sword of Damocles looming over them, which is the Patriots, which is, even though I think they could have beat them both times last year, they were 0-2
against them.
Sword of Damocles. I feel like that's from the Bible. It's from something. It's hanging over your head. You got to worry about it. I think it's in the Bible. Maybe Old Testament. You should listen.
Like a mobile. Like a mobile.
No, definitely not like a mobile. You know what? We should have ended probably 30 seconds ago.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.